Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. First of all, I have to tell you all, I love this story. I wish Uncle Bill could have read all 56 verses because it's a phenomenal story, but hopefully between Uncle Bill and what Miss Becky did and what I preach, that we will get the whole story. But before they get to that story, I want to tell you another story. And I have to say, my heart is aching this summer because the last two summers, one of my favorite things was my kids playing in a summer baseball league. I loved getting to be out at the baseball field, watching them practice, watching them play games. We had another church family, Holly Auger, Susan and Roger's granddaughter, that 2 years ago played on the same team as Maddie, and last year was in the same four-team division, and so I'd get to see Holly and her family and Susan and Roger and Sherry at the field. And last summer, my niece and nephew played in the same league up here in Lomita, and so I would get to see my brother and my niece and my nephew and my sister-in-law as they would come up for games. And it was like these fun family times at the baseball field and getting to cheer the kids on and being outside and not stuck in the house. And I really miss it this year. But last year, I have to tell you, one of the fun things, Maddie moved up a division from two summers ago to last summer. And one of the things that was added from the lower division to this middle division was adding in the position of catcher, okay? And Maddie got chosen to be one of the catchers for her team, and she was excited about this. It was like a special position because you got to wear a helmet and you got to wear the chest protector. Now, they didn't need the leg protectors because it was coach pitch, and so they didn't squat behind the plate and catch live pitches that were coming in. What the intention was is that they would stand at the backstop, and if the batter didn't hit the ball, then they would fetch the ball and throw it back to the coach that was pitching, and they would get a chance to try to make a play at home, which like almost never happened for the catcher to make a play at home. But anyways, they had this important role of catching the pitch balls, collecting them, and throwing it back to the coach. Now, Maddie had seen that this is where the rest of the catchers stood, but she also went to brother and sister's games in the upper division where the catcher was a live catcher catching a kid-pitched pitch, so squatting behind the plate and catching the pitch. And so Maddie was not satisfied with the idea of standing at the backstop and just waiting for the pitch to come. She insisted that she needed to come up and squat behind the plate. And they kept pushing her back, and they kept pushing her back, and she kept creeping up. And this, to me, was entertaining to watch as Maddie's stubbornness on the field showed as she was so insistent on wanting to be that real catcher that was right there. Now, one day, midway through the season, here she is in her squatted position with her cute little helmet on and her chest guard, being so serious, being catcher. And the pitcher, the coach, pitched the ball, and the kids swung with all their might, and where did the ball go? But the ball went straight up and started to go back. And Maddie's watching this ball, and she sticks her glove out and catches the ball. And what did the umpire do? The umpire called the batter out. And our whole side, all of our parents, just interrupted with cheers and applause. And Maddie's going, what did I do? I just got the ball to give it back to the coach. She had no idea that she had gotten the batter out. She was just doing her job of catching the ball. But here we were amazed that because she insisted on being in that spot where no other catcher was, that she was able to get that out. I should mention in that game, she almost caught two more like that, but just missed as it tipped off her glove. But this amazing moment of Maddie with her gear on, getting in there, brave and strong, right behind that plate, insisting on doing the job that the best that she could. Now, here was all Maddie in all of her gear, doing what she was feeling called to do, much like David in this story. Here's little David, the shepherd boy, not old enough to be out there on the battlefield, but coming to check in on his brothers and bring them food gifts from home. And out there, what are his brothers doing but cowering out of intimidation of this gigantic Goliath that's out there laughing at the Israelite army? Which, first of all, I have to note, we heard in this story that Goliath was 6 cubits tall. And last week we talked about a cubit, and if you weren't here, a cubit is from the tip of your finger to your elbow. And so anywhere from like 18 to 21 inches, we find within our readings, times 6. So this is like a 9-foot guy. Apparently, way back when, God made people much bigger. But here's Goliath, like 9 feet tall, laughing at the Israelite army. And the Israelite army has nobody that can face this giant. But when David comes, David's like, "What are you doing laughing at this guy? I'll take him on. I'm just a kid, but I can do it." And his brothers are like, shh, stop. They're trying to protect their brother. But David insists, kind of like Maddie going up to that plate when all the adults are trying to protect her and push her back. David says, "Let me in. Put me in, coach." And King Saul says, "Okay. But if you're gonna go out there, let me outfit you to be able to do it." And so what does King Saul do? But he puts little boy David in King Saul's armor. Breastplate, helmet, sword, shield. Here he is, and little David probably could hardly even walk in all that grown men gear. But if he was gonna face the giant, if he was gonna be a warrior, that's what he should have worn. It would have protected him. But David says, "I've got a better protection. If I'm gonna go out there, I have to go out there as me. I have to go out there not as a soldier because I'm not. I have to go out there as a shepherd." So he takes all that gear off. He grabs his slingshot. He grabs his pouch and 5 stones. And he says, "This is how I go out there because this is how God has created me, and God will protect me. The Lord will go with me." And Saul says, "May the Lord be with you and watch out for you." And here's how Saul goes. And think about it as I try to skip along in my notes. Think about him in that gear, because it's really cute when little kids put on our adult clothes, right? It's really cute when little kids put on dad's shoes and clomp around in them, or mom's high heels. It's really cute when mom puts their dress on the little toddler and it's flowing and they can hardly walk. It's cute as a kid, but us as adults, it's not quite as cute for us to put on somebody else's clothes to try to be something that we are not. Last week, we looked at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and their identities were changed in name by the king, taking the Hebrew names and giving them Babylonian names. And they are asked to act as a Babylonian, bowing down to the idol. But they said, "You can change our names, but you can't change who we are. We stay God's people no matter what, no matter if it puts us in the fire." And they kept that identity in the Lord, and the Lord protected them. And here is David doing just the same thing. He, with the Lord's protection, instead of the armor of the king, stares down the enemy, growling teeth, spitting insults. And he is not intimidated because he knows the Lord is with him. And the only identity that he needs is child of God to find the courage and the strength to defeat Goliath. It gives us a new perspective for Psalm 23. Psalm 23, when we read about the Lord as our shepherd, we see this beautiful, pristine scene in this psalm. But here is the shepherd that we think of, the one that is willing to put down their life for their sheep. that says, I will stare the enemy down for you. David was used to facing the wolves and coyotes, whatever kind of wild animals that are vicious out in Bethlehem. And he would use his sling, and he would use the guidance of the Lord to fight them all back to protect his sheep. And that is the image that comes in this beloved song. The Lord is not intimidated by the enemies that hunt or haunt us, but prepares a table for us before these enemies. God says, don't be intimidated. Don't be scared. Do not fear. Sit at my table and let me take care of you as these enemies try to encroach upon you, and have trust in me. But as we look at this shepherd image, we've got one more shepherd that we have to look at, the one that stared down the biggest enemy of all, took aim and defeated it for us. And that shepherd is our Savior, Christ Jesus. You see, the theme of our day is armor up with justice. Did I get that right, Miss Becky? And this word justice, in other translations of Ephesians, is to put on the breastplate of righteousness. To be in right relationship with God. You see, back in David's time, back in the Old Testament, sins, shortcomings, failings to live by what God had set as laws and rules and regulations as faith would break the relationship. And you would be out of right relationship, out of a good relationship with God when you sinned. And bringing your offerings and your sacrifices to the altar through the priest would put you back in right relationship. It would repair the relationship, and you would be right once again. You would be righteous once again. Are you good with the Lord? I've been to the altar. I am right with the Lord. But here Jesus comes, and on dying on the cross, he looked our enemy of sin in the face, and he died for it. One sacrifice for all. What did he do? He made it so that we were justified through his actions. That when we accept what he did on the cross, when we accept that payment, when we accept Christ as our Savior, we receive justifying grace that puts us in a right relationship that cannot be damaged by our sins because of grace. We are put in right relationship with God that no sin can separate us. We are justified. Today we see people fighting for justice. We're seeing it every day on the news. We see it with signs and posters on the corners. We will hear about it today at our table service through Lauren and Sue. They are seeking justice that frees people from oppression and inequality, a fight that God calls for in Micah 6:8. One that we have talked about right here in this place. Christ fought for our justice. Christ fought not for us to have political or social freedom from oppression and inequality, but he freed us from the oppression of sin and freed us to live with boldness and courage and a life everlasting. But what do we do with it? Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. We are challenged to put on that breastplate of justice and be able to act with boldness and courage because we have it. Maddie, who put on that chest protector and was willing to crouch right upon that plate despite that batter with a bat in front of her. David, who was willing to put on that invisible breastplate of faith in the Lord and face Goliath. How do we see ourselves the same? I think about the example of the masks right now. I'm looking around and I see everybody here in masks, our protection. I wear it when I go outside. I wear it to the store. And what does it do? It gives me a greater confidence that I am protected from this COVID disease that's out there and that I'm doing my part to protect other people. I would be scared to be without it now. It's ironic that we would get to that place. It's weird in some ways. But I gain confidence when I put it on, when I wear it, and when I see other people. How do we have that same with our hearts? Because that's what that breastplate is doing, like Miss Becky talked about. That breastplate, it protects our most precious of organs, in particular, our heart, the center of our being that we cannot live without. And while a warrior's breastplate, where a catcher's chest protector protects our physical heart, how do we seek for Christ's justification for us to be a protection for our spiritual hearts that give us the ability to live this life with boldness and courage, knowing that the Lord will protect us, that the Lord will help us, like that seat belt, that the Lord is keeping us safe. And to know that when we act in that boldness and courage especially, that no stumbling or falling short will damage that relationship, because God has said, "Forever you are mine, and forever I will love you." So like Maddie behind the plate, like David before Goliath, and Christ upon the cross, let us put on the breastplate of justice, reminded of the strength that we have through the work of Christ on the cross, to move into life with courage, boldness, with a protected heart that allows us to seek justice and love for all. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks on this day for all that you have done for us through the witness of David that helps us to see how we can live with boldness and courage for others when you are with us. We give you thanks for what Christ has done upon the cross for us, that he freed us from the oppression of sin that can hold us back like a ball and chain, but that he has released us from it to live in freedom. And we ask that through your Holy Spirit, through your strength, through your armor that you put on us, that you will help us to move out into this world with boldness in all that we do, so that we can be warriors for you, thinking, speaking, and acting with faith and courage that helps defeat the enemies that hold people back from living the full life that you have blessed us with. For all of this, Lord, we pray in your most holy name. Amen. And now Miss Leah with our science experiment.